The first one is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, and it's verses 19 through to 20. This is what it says. Sorry? Yeah. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body." And also a similar verse in Romans chapter 7, verse 6. It says, "But now, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law so that we may serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." Start of a new year. Number one thing, a resolution. Everybody, well, a lot of people make resolutions. Some, it would be a new start. Some, it might even be something that kicks them into a brand new way. Something fresh, something different. They make a resolution and they stick to it. But a lot of us are used to the idea that we make a resolution and it sort of peters out. Some will look back on 2021 and say it's been a really hard year, a difficult year, traumatic year. It's had difficulties. 1992, the Queen made a statement which has sort of gone down history. She called the year that had just gone Annus Horribilis. If you remember, shortly before that, there'd been the fire at Windsor where they'd been rushing to get the stuff out before it was consumed by the flames. There were other things that happened during the year, but she called it Annus Horribilis. And you know, for some of us, 2021 will have been Annus Horribilis, a horrible year. One thing that they say you can't get away from is deaths and taxes. And 2021 was full of both. And I think we'll see some more of that in the future as well. But there's many years like that. Years have got good in them. You can look back and say, yeah, that was tremendous. And it's got bad things in it. Ups and downs, good and bad. But you know, what is more important than the up and the down is what the end's like. In the verses that we've been talking about, it's God making a new way. And it's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, really, because we've now got a way to come to God that's different to what it used to be. It's a new way, a different way. Under the Old Testament, for people to come to God, they had to make some sort of sacrifice, an animal sacrifice or grain offerings, things like that. Under the Old Testament, they had written rules to follow. And it's not the same in the New Testament, the times that we're living in. And also, in the New Testament, we've got the Holy Spirit to live inside us. In each Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in a new way. And the Holy Spirit, or through the Holy Spirit, we have a new way of knowing what's right because he's actually living inside us. And you know, I suppose in some ways we could almost say that the Old Testament is like those phones that we were looking at. The Old Testament's a bit like the landline. You've got limited places where you could access God's presence, whereas these days we're on the mobile phone and we can have God with us at all times, everywhere. Wherever. The law, which was in the Old Testament, told us how we could get to God. But it also made it very clear that none of us could actually get that way. It wasn't possible. And the new way that God makes for us, he actually gets us to that point straight away. And then we can live thereafter. And we can give thanks to God for that new life. Because in 1 Peter 1, 3 to 4, this is what it says. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope." Through Jesus Christ, the old way that we had, like Esther said, I don't want the old things anymore. Well, in Jesus Christ, the old things are done away with. And we've got the new things. Through Jesus Christ, we've got a new birth. Because the old things have died, but there's a new start, a new beginning. God working for us, God working in us. And it said through Jesus Christ, we've got a living hope, a new certainty, something's sprung into life afresh. And that gives us the ending, the guaranteed future. You know, the present can be difficult. The present can be rough. John 16, verse 33, Jesus speaking says this, I've told you all these things, and he'd given them a list. He says, so that in me you can have peace. He says, in the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And that word there, trouble, it means pressure. How many of us have felt pressured over this last year? How many of us have felt the pressure of the difficulties? How many of us have given way under the pressure? A lot of people have. But pressure, it causes a distress. Something inside that's the result of outside circumstances. And Jesus said, you're going to get that. We will have real pressure as we give our lives to Jesus. Even in him, we can have real difficulties. Even in Jesus, we can have real pain. Even in Jesus, we can have real anguish. Even in Jesus, we can have real heartache. But those difficulties, those rough times, that pressure cannot change what's coming at the end. Because the ultimate end in Jesus is guaranteed. It's certainty. It's fixed for eternity. A singer called Jeremy Camp, in a song Can't Take Away, says this. The battle is on, and I know it's for real. But I'm standing on the rock that never shakes. The dark is always going to try to steal, but I'm not afraid. I put my hope in love that never fades, because what the Lord gives, the world can't take. I hold on to the promise he won't break, because what the Lord gives, the world can't take away. Because when God gives us that certainty, that end, that fixed point, nobody on earth can take it away from us. He gives us that new hope, that new life, and we've got it. It's a certainty and it's guaranteed. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, this is what it says. You were taught with regards to your former ways of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And when it says made new, you could translate it as renovate. God does a renovation on us when we ask him to come into our lives, and he changes us completely. We can have our attitudes, the way we think about things, the way we feel about things, renovated and made new. When we talk about renovation, we mean take into account all the wear and the tear and put it back to how it was before. I like motorcycles. And sometimes at motorcycle shows, what they have are displays of motorbikes that people have done up. But you know, the enthusiasts that have worked on these have done such a tremendous job, because they've spent hours remaking, they've spent hours remodeling, they've spent hours making sure the fit and finish is perfect. They've spent hours polishing and cleaning. To the extent, they've renovated those motorcycles to better than they were when they left the factory. Because everything is absolutely pristine and perfect. It's as good as it possibly can be. Whereas when it was made, it was just made and sort of got out of the factory and sold. But these enthusiasts have done such a tremendous renovation work, they're actually better than they were when they were brand new. All the wear and tear is taken care of. All the damage is put right, and it's even better than it was before. And when God works on our attitudes, he makes us better than we were before, because he's changing our mind, the way we think. In this new year, for those on that new way, we can have a certified, guaranteed future that no matter how rough, difficult, and anguish-filled the days may be, the end is certain, it's fixed, and God is working in us to make us new. The path may be rough, but the arrival and the destination are certain. In this new year, we can have our outlook renovated. Renovated not to a gold standard, renovated to a God standard. And it doesn't come better than that. In the new year, we can be thankful to a God who makes us new.